This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Checkpoint Intimates.
Welcome to another episode of Checkpoint Intimates. We are the most sexually charged gaming podcast on the internet.
I hate when you start like this. It makes me feel so uncomfortable.
My name is Elliot, and I'm joined by Cameron, who is already butting in before I've introduced him.
Just because I don't want to be on the most sexually charged podcast on the internet.
Cameron, we have a thing.
We definitely do not.
Look into my eyes.
Which one? The real one or the glass one?
What does that even mean?
I insinuated you have a fake eye.
Right. But I don't.
No, you don't. This is Checkpoint Intimate.
So, on today's show, we want to talk all about bloat in video games, or the idea of the kind of the grind or the busy work.
The busy work.
So, Cam, why did this idea pop into your mind?
Yeah, I came to Elliot last night and said, I want to talk about this on Intimates. And it was, funnily enough, the day the Red Dead Redemption gameplay trailer, the first gameplay trailer.
Yeah, so most people watch that trailer and go, this is amazing. Like, I can't wait for Red Dead Redemption 2. This is going to be one of the best games. Rockstar have hit it out of the park. This trailer looks amazing. Cameron, what was your take?
Look at you just, like, setting me up to knock me down. So here's... to go from the top, I do not think in any way this is, like, a bad game. I think that this looks like a beautiful game. The artwork to it looks stunning. The lighting specifically looks amazing. I think it'll be a beautiful open world. I think it'll be an amazing time. I think Rockstar make great games. Let me get that out of the way.
Okay.
Here's my problem. The gameplay trailer.
This feels like a, what do they call it? Like an insult sandwich or a...
No.
You brace with the good. And then you hit in with the terrible.
It's an open sandwich, because now it's just the stuff that... No. So there are elements that I really like about it. And I understand in a lot of open world gaming, you know, you need to make the world feel full and like there's stuff going on, or you end up with an empty world that's boring. My problem is, when I was watching the gameplay for this one, I just kind of sat there, and now looking at gaming through the eye of someone who then has to review that game, who has a couple of days to play the game in entirety and then have an opinion on it, a valid, like, well thought out opinion on it, that you have to have done the research and played a lot of it to have that, I looked at this and just went, this seems like a lot of extra stuff that doesn't need to exist.
Yeah, so we're talking specifically about grooming your horse.
Yeah, there's, like, grooming, like, and
creating
and
a friendship with your horse. Creating, like, a really good, what are they called? The gangs?
Companion,
or...
like, camp. You had to, like, to feed your camp, and then there was all the bandits at the camp. You could go and do stuff with them to build up friendship with them.
Yeah, and you build up friends with all your companions.
And I looked at this, and all I could see was the time that it was being put into this was... It feels like it's created to extend gameplay. It feels like it's in there so that you spend more time playing their game and their game spends longer in the most played kind of situation.
But here's a counterpoint. Can't you just not do that stuff?
You can, but the problem is... and this is the thing. I feel like when open world gaming... And this is something that I feel only really exists in open world gaming. Mm-hmm. These things just get added that... I don't know... Are they necessary? Do we need to rear our horse, or can we just have a horse that is reliable? In things like, the best example I can think of, and the game that kind of had the elements, but I never felt like I was playing a bloated game, is The Witcher. A massive game. Huge. There is so much going on there. So much. But at no point did I feel like any of the side quests, or even, like,
you know what?
Picking things up, I didn't feel bloated.
I'm going to 100% disagree with you, and I know my opinion on The Witcher varies from the average. Mm. I think the game's a very good game. I think it's amazing narrative, but I think it is chock full of bloat, and the side quests and the little like monster nests, or whether it's like abandoned encampment is overrunning. They're cookie cutter, copy pasted content that feels like absolute bloat, and I did not have fun exploring that world map because nothing was new and different. It was the same.
That's fair. I just feel like with The Witcher, it fit in the series really well for me. Like, it made sense what he was doing. When I did the side quests, when I went and got the herbs for to put into the potions I would use, it all felt like it should exist. I don't know. This is a hard subject to talk on. It's just a game where, like, When I looked at the Red Dead, I'm excited to see the next trailer, which actually will go into more the missions. And I think we've seen the story a little bit, but they're going to go into the missions. And that kind of thing, I think, is much more interesting to me. But I was just, you know, it's that thing of, oh, you can push this button now when you're walking past someone and you'll nod at them.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, cool, 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 cool.
But some people look at that and they say, oh my God, immersion.
And that's a word that I hate when it comes to gaming, immersion. I'm not immersed. I'm sitting in front of a screen. Like, it's still a computer game.
That's your own imagination failing you, Cameron.
No, it's my grasp on reality succeeding.
Well, that's an interesting way to look at it.
Yeah. But it's that thing. I'm not saying that Red Dead Redemption is going to come out and it's a bad game, but it's something that definitely puts me off with some games. GTA did it a lot as well. There's like, let's go bowling with our cousin. Why?
Oh, man, you would hate the Yakuza series.
Yes, Yakuza is a series that I think has a lot of bloat. It exists purely, and I think the fans, though, have gripped to the side quests and actually enjoy the side quests more than the main quests these days.
But here's the thing,
Yakuza.
If they're handled really well and done really well, which the Yakuza series is known for, then surely it's no longer bloat. It's actually engaging, fun content.
If it's engaging, fun content, great. I don't know. I've not played them. And that's the thing. I've not played those games. But I've seen, like, Assassin's Creed got really bad with bloat. And even Origins had bloat still. Like, Assassin's Creed is one of those games where you open the map and what you see in front of you is a littering of icons and it goes, go to the icons and do the things.
Yep, so many games are like that. I would say the Shadow of War series was really bad at that. Ubisoft. Basically any Ubisoft title.
Ubisoft
you look at the Far Cry
world.
Series and they do a really poor job of this too, where it's like you climb the tower and you see all the things you can unlock and then all of a sudden, it's busy work. You're like putting a pinpoint on your map, and you're going there, and you're unlocking, and then you find the next like area of interest that you need to go to, and then you go there, and you do the same kind of busy work content.
And it's that thing. So you've got stuff like Dragon Age Inquisition. You're the big leader of this big world, and yet you seem to be going out and doing these menial tasks like picking the herbs, or you have to go to your war table and send people off, but you have to come back in an hour once that's done, so you can go do more. Like, it's that stuff that they've put it in to pad out their playtime.
Is that why it's there?
I think that's exactly why it's there.
So that they can say, padding. Like, in marketing, that you're over 200 hours of gameplay, but there in it reality, is. It's all really quite mundane, repetitive
yes.
activities.
I genuinely think that, and that is why I never... I'm a huge Mass Effect fan, as you know. I tried to play Mass Effect Andromeda. I couldn't make it past, like, the third planet because I just felt every time I dropped on a planet, I'm like, you're padding this. Everything that's happening here is padding. I liked the original Mass Effects because you would go in, you'd have a concise, like, level, a dungeon that you would run, basically. You'd get stopped to finish. You're not running around this map looking for collectibles or having non-stop respawning enemies appearing. It was a start to finish, a level, an experience, done. These open world games are trying to pad themselves out and feel full, but coding in only like 5 activities just reworked in different ways.
Now, here's the devil's advocate standpoint.
Oh!
Me and you, we play, or you and I, if I want to use the proper English.
I prefer you did, thank you.
Yeah, I know, you're a stickler. We play a lot of video games, so much so that we don't want kind of repeating content. Having said that, there are some people out there, and I know I was one of them when I was a lot younger, where I might play one game a month. And if I'm playing one game a month, I want that game to go a long way. And I don't want to replay the game again from the beginning. I mean, I might, but what's better than that is to actually experience the bloat and kind of extend my playtime with that game.
I think my opinion on gaming has been irreparably changed by being involved in gaming media now.
Yeah.
I can't deny that. I don't think I can look at games the same. That being said, like, I'm on Destiny 2 a fairly large amount of the time playing the same stuff over with their bloat. And so it's kind of like I do get wanting to enjoy and go back to something. So I can still see why you'd want that. I just think it needs to be done in ways that are enjoyable, and I just don't think...
We haven't quite got there yet, have we?
I don't think so.
For me, it's always been one of the biggest problems with these kind of big release AAA open world games. And it's interesting because there were a couple of examples of games that released last year that I feel like the kind of general population or the consensus on those games is that they actually tried to tackle that issue and do it fairly successfully. Now, they're games I haven't played because I'm a PC only gamer. I'm talking about Horizon Zero Dawn, and I'm talking about The Legend of Zelda: The Breath of the Wild.
Yep.
Is that an accurate representation? Have they somehow removed the bloat?
Breath of the Wild went a different direction. I think it was actually, and dare this be a controversial point of view, because I actually did enjoy the game, I think it was actually more bloat than story. But the point is that the game wasn't trying to be as much a narrative game. It wanted to put you in the world, give you the building blocks, and say, go, do the things. It wasn't saying, here is the story, follow the storyline, and while you're going from storyline to storyline, oh, this thing's over there, you would randomly go up a cliff and be like, oh, there's a whole thing here that I can kind of do. This is kind of cool. And it was, there's definitely like an amount of bloat to it, but the way the world was built and the way that you played the game, you didn't feel like you were padding out a narrative.
Mm.
But Horizon Zero Dawn did have a little bit of bloat going on, but I think that they did it smart enough that you didn't always feel like it. Like, the challenge was high enough that you didn't feel like you were autopiloting a lot of the time. Like,
fair.
And I think that's what it's about. If you can autopilot something, it shouldn't be in your game.
Yeah, yeah. If you can go into it and not be consciously aware of what you're doing, but still actively doing it successfully,
yeah,
that is a bit of an issue.
It's like running around and getting collectibles. People, like, I used to love that stuff. Yeah, and me now too. These days, I'm like, I found like the collectibles in God of War quite enjoyable because nowhere in the map did it tell you where things were. Like, you had a bit of an idea. It's like, there could be something here. And you'd be like, okay, well, I need to look around and find it. I can't just be like, there it is on the map. I'll go stand near the icon and like just angle my camera till I see it. I think another thing that we need to talk on when it comes to bloat in gaming is probably the genre and the industry that really gave us bloated gaming, and that is MMORPGs. I don't think bloating in gaming existed before things like WoW wanted you to collect, you know, 10 goat skins.
Yeah, so MMORPGs is one of those kind of genres that it wants the gamer to never leave the game. Yep. It wants you to be in that avatar, in that world, continuously grinding, continuously progressing to slightly better and slightly better platforms.
Yep.
Because that is like a replacement of your real world, right? Like, they want so much grind that you will never complete this game.
And that's the thing. So for those that don't know, MMORPG is massively multiplayer online role-playing game. World of Warcraft, Final Fantasy XIV, which I was into for a few years. There's plenty out there that are affected by this. And I think what it is a lot of these things, WoW, which started it all, I think. Well, there was MMORPGs before WoW, but I think WoW is the one that really is a cornerstone to this industry and the effect that it had, ran off a subscription.
Mm.
And that subscription cost you money. And if you ran out of things to do, why would you continue your subscription? So instead, bloat. Yep. Bloat, bloat, bloat. That created like loot and RNGesus and all of that stuff. You know, like a reason to just keep going and doing the same things over and over. There was always something to do. Like, that's where I think bloat was born in gaming.
Is there good bloat and bad bloat, or is it all the same terrible disease?
I think within a game, there is good and bad bloat. I don't think I can point at any one game and go, that's all bad bloat.
I think
does
I
that
can.
Make sense?
I think there are, for me, definitely examples of bloat being done really badly.
Oh,
I
probably.
Hate, a giant pet peeve of mine is ambient quest systems, where it'll be like, take your Fallout 4, where it'll be, oh, settlement is under attack. And it's just like, a piece of code has gone through the system and it's generated that this settlement is being attacked and therefore you have to deal with it. And then you go back and a new settlement is under attack. And there's no real depth to it. There's no real content. It is these ambient quests that will continually build upon themselves and will never be resolved, but it'll keep happening and keep giving you busy work.
However, what I'm saying is you can't find a game that has all bad, but then I would say that good bloat that exists within the Fallout games, even though I am very critical of Bethesda. I am not your Fallout fan on this podcast. But, you know, you look at the way that natural quests can appear. Yep. Like, you're walking down the street, someone who has been walking in the area for ages, and that's when you manage to run into them, triggers the event. Now you've got a quest to do. That's good bloat. That's the way I like my quest to be given to me. You stumble upon it in a real world kind of fashion.
Yeah, I agree. I think the Fallout series has done a fantastic job with trying to create those kind of sub-quests, or not even like a full quest system, but just like these random encounters, and making it feel like it's natural and it's not bloatware. It's just an actual piece of game content that you just like happen across.
Yep.
So mad props to Fallout in that realm. It's just a shame that it screws it up in other areas badly.
That bloody... There's a new place that I need you to go to. Oh my God.
Yeah.
I hated that. Yeah, it was really bad. And that's one of the reasons I left that game.
Yep, absolutely. It's the only Fallout game I haven't completed. Because I just got so sick, and it, like, I know you hate the word, but some games are more immersive than others.
I was like, which word will it be this time? I hate plenty of words.
It's moist.
No, that word's fine.
Okay. Yeah, because I was so, like, non-immersed within that world because
you weren't
of
moist
all that,
with immersion.
Yeah, exactly. I wasn't dripping in, like, immersive goodness because that game was so capable of throwing me out of that immersion by showing me the cracks, by saying, here's an ambient quest that is going to be the same and it'll generate over and over and over and over again and you'll never complete it.
Yeah. I think at the end of the day, I quite enjoyed the original Red Dead Redemption, and I understand I can't look at it at the same way that I looked at the one now because I was in a different position, and maybe I wasn't aware of bloat back then.
Mm.
That wasn't the thing that I realized. I'm sure the original has plenty of bloat.
Before we wrap up, can I give an example of like bloat that I actually really like and engage in? Yeah. Survival games will often have like a base building element, and they may not even be mandatory. Mm-hmm. Like, for instance, I've been playing Subnautica, which is a game where you're kind of thrown into this open ocean.
Yep.
And
it's all
main
underwater
core,
kind of.
Yeah, the main experience. Core of this game is to gather resources, kind of survive the elements, and craft new materials so that you can dive deeper and explore further and keep doing these awesome things. But there is this kind of side element where it's base building, and you can create like extravagant bases out of like the materials you scavenge, and these bases can be really useful to you within the game but also non-mandatory. That game has a finish and it has an end. There is a story to that game, and you do not have to actively engage in base building to achieve it.
Yep.
You just can survive off incredibly rudimentary things. But if you really love that game and you want to engage in the world and you don't want it to finish yet, you go around, you make an awesome base, you do some really cool things and create like this little underwater paradise for yourself. And it is bloat. It's not the main core of the game, but it's there for you to engage in if you want it.
I have a love-hate relationship with this style of bloat. The second that base building came into and all that came into Fallout, I immediately was just like, oh God, no. I did not enjoy it. I don't like the micromanaging of... Now build a wall. Now build the other wall. But I'm okay if it's something like, place this building to like building a town or building like a castle and putting things into the castle. I am okay with that. I don't like the minute down to every detail. Build the wall. Now build the floor. Now build the roof. Now build the balcony.
You wouldn't like Minecraft.
Minecraft, I literally only play with Rowan occasionally. He really got into it. My husband. I never really connected with Minecraft because of that. That kind of busy work.
Yeah, which is what it is, but it's also like the main point of that game.
Exactly. So I went into that knowing that full well, so I wasn't shocked when I turned around and went, oh, it went, and that's that thing. It's much like Breath of the Wild. When busy work is kind of all the game is, it can kind of work in its favor.
Yeah. Anyway, that's all the time we've got. Cameron, thank you for joining me and talking about bloat.
Thank you for being so moist in immersion with me.
You're welcome. I feel like we're leaving this podcast as like bloated entities kind of lumping off into the distance.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. Join us next week for more Checkpoint goodness.
This has been a Joycast of Checkpoint for Joy 94.9. If you like this podcast, please rate us on iTunes and Stitcher.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.